achieve those objectives for us.
Jets GM live.
You know, you probably heard the word several times, either from Paul or myself, or you know, over the course of you know reading different things. It was all about fit, and you know, we like our group. We like our group. You know, going into these couple of days, we like it a lot. So we were very, very cognizant that anything that we were going to do was going to come with that measure of fit, both on the ice and off the ice. And, you know, we feel very excited about, you know, what we accomplished over, you know, this deadline.
How different was this year for you compared to years past?
Well, you know, in a lot of respects, you know, the every deadline is different. There's lots of things that are similar, though, like you're making the calls, you're checking the prices, you you know, read all the rumors that are not even close to being true, and you know, you just keep on doing your business. But you know, it's an interesting time. There's lots of highs, lots of lows. It's again, you spend a lot of time in conversation to establish the market, the prices. You spend a lot of time with your group, your scouts, who work hard all year to basically do those kind of things, gauge, you know, what they feel it's worth, what you feel it's worth. They, you know, they go to the games, especially in these last couple of weeks here, traveling around for, you know, a target scouting where you're looking at different players. And you know, again, it's certainly an exciting day for them when some of their work gets acknowledged.
Could you walk us through the Stastny deal?
So, again, you know, without divulging too much, you know, got a text from, you know, from Doug in St. Louis a couple of days ago that he said, you know, depending on how some of the outcomes might be, you know, going in that direction for them, that, you know, he may look at doing something like this. I immediately responded that, you know, I'd be very interested if it ever got to that point, and things progressed from there.
How'd you keep it so quiet?
You know, again, in this situation here, you know, the with the player having, you know, full no trade, ultimately, you know, it was going to be his decision. So, you know, when we did come to the final agreement, you know, we really it was kind of went unsaid. Like it's the sanctity amongst organizations that, you know, honestly, it's quite refreshing that, you know, we both knew that this was a person's family at stake. This is a person's decision at stake, and he earned that right to have that no trade. And so for us, there was, you know, there was never going to be any leakage, you know, certainly from our side to damage the reputation of that player.
Kevin, you pursued Paul quite heavily when he was a free agent. How much did that background help in trying to bring a guy that wasn't going to disrupt your room?
So, you know, back during that free agency period, and I can't, you know, obviously speak for Paul, but he was going home, you know, St. Louis is home. So, you know, I think that's, you know, equally, you know, kind of important here. Like, you know, one is Paul, you know, chose, he had a choice to, you know, to waive, you know, the no move in his contract. And leave his home to come, you know, play in, you know, here in Winnipeg, and you know, so that's an exciting thing, I think, for, you know, for us, and certainly, I believe, as you know, once he gets here, it's going to be a real exciting thing, you know, for him. Back to the free agency, you know, it goes back to what I said, you know, when I talked to you guys on free agency day, you know, and some days, and you know, I'm sure, you know, if we went back to that year, we probably didn't make a big splash in free agency that day. And people probably said, well, there they go. The Jets don't do anything again. And, you know, but we had a plan in place as far as how we wanted to approach things. And quite honestly, whether it's on free agency day or whether it's, you know, on trade deadline day, and to a certain extent at draft day, you're drafting for the right fit. You're signing for the right fit. You're trading for the right fit. Fit doesn't always, you know, there's so many different things that come into play. There, you know, whether in these cases it's contracts, it's no moves, it's you know, cap, it's cash, it's all those kind of things. So, you know, it's a very complicated league at times. As you can see, there's lots of complications that do, even during the trade deadline, complications seem to come up all the time.
Is he a guy that you could see being more than just a rental because of the interest in the past too?
We really haven't gotten, you know, to that point. Like he, you know, when we finally came to the verbal agreement between, I guess, St. Louis and ourselves to, you know, to the point last night where, you know, their manager spoke with Paul and informed him of, you know, what was pending. You know, that really sets a lot of things in motion and a lot of, I'm sure, emotions in motion for, you know, for Paul. And, you know, he had a conversation with Blake. I informed Blake that, you know, we had this pending deal, you know, you know, obviously the player had a decision to make, but, you know, these are players, you know, and players' families' decisions. And, you know, it's not about Blake Wheeler. It's not about us. It's not about everything. It's just, it's, you know, he had a tough decision to make. We're very, very thankful and super excited that he chose to come this direction.
Joe Morrow's a guy that played with two guys in your organization. What does he bring into the table for your group?
So Joe's a guy that he can really skate. You know, former first-round draft pick that, you know, he's had an interesting career. He's had, you know, lots of different opportunities to play. He's had lots of different opportunities where he's been the odd man out. You know, but the thing I think that impressed us the most is, you know, he played 5 of 6 games last year for Boston in the playoffs, and I believe he had over 20 minutes played in those games. So, you know, those are the type of things that, you know, are important. You know, he's got some experience in big games. You know, he can skate. He can, you know, move a puck. You know, those are things that are important. He's left shot. You know, I believe he can actually, you know, do a little swing back and forth to left and right. So it's about, you know, flexibility and it's about fit. We've talked, you know, in our due diligence, you know, of the person and everything, you know, and found all the great, you know, great things as far as a person standpoint, again, which is extremely important, you know, from our perspective, bringing into our group, you know, at this period in time. So, you know, it is really interesting when you're talking about this week, the hype, the lead up, the rumors, you know, all those different things out there. And, you know, for us, you know, we were linked to a lot of different things, you know, and it's interesting. Some, you know, some we were definitely in. And but a lot of them we definitely weren't, because for me, you know, when I found out that Paul was available, I put everything into that basket. So that was for me the move that I was willing to let everything else pass by, you know, to try and make. Now, you're going to be asking yourself, what if you didn't make it? Well, if we didn't make it, we were very happy with, you know, our group moving forward here, because, again, it goes back to what we felt fit. And I was fully prepared not to make any moves if there wasn't, you know, that right move that we felt was going to be a fit. So I could just as easily have been standing here, you know, when I woke up this morning, coming here and saying, you know, you waiting for the questions of why I chose not to make any moves. And I would have been able to sit here and look you all straight in the eyes and say, it's because I like my team. And that has not changed one iota. In fact, it's actually been enhanced. Is that, you know, we felt that this was a tremendous fit for our organization on many different levels on both of these trades.
On that sense, Kevin, some of the players you've been linked to are also centers. Would it be safe or accurate to say that addressing, or if you were going to make an ad on the forward position, that a center was very important to target?
You would have to say that again. And again, I guess I'm the only one that truly knows who I was active in. You know, did I make some calls on other centers that went to other places? Yes, that's part of my job. You know, that's part of the due diligence. You know, did I have offers on the table that, you know, strike one, strike two, strike three, Jets get nobody? Yeah, no, it wasn't quite, you know, what it was led to believe maybe in some of those rumors out there. And I can only chuckle about that. And I guess that's my prerogative, because I truly know what's going on. But, you know, we were in some, you know, some big things that didn't happen. And we landed someone that is, again, is a tremendous fit for us.
You have repeatedly stressed, of course, the importance of building up assets. First-round draft pick and Eric Foley, a very promising-looking prospect. Maybe just address parting with a first-round pick. Sure. And Eric Foley and maybe how difficult that is on your end to do so.
Yeah, it's certainly not easy. Like one of the, you know, it's always a tough phone call when you have to send someone down or do something like that. When I talked to Eric this morning, You know, it was tough. Like, you know, he's drafted as a Jet. He was very committed, you know, and proud to be part of the Jets organization as we were to have him, you know, as part of ours. And you know, so it, you know, when you know, that's a player that the other team targets and it gets the deal done, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, make those tough decisions. But, you know, and the first round pick is certainly, you know, something that, you know, we've built our organization through drafting and developing and retaining. A little bit of trading and a little bit of free agency has gotten us to the point that we're at. We've, I believe we've drafted 9 first round picks and you know, we've got 1 playing in Europe, 1 playing in junior still, you know, still coming. So, you never take it lightly, but you know, there's currency that needs to be paid, and you know, sometimes you got your fingers crossed that it's not a first round pick and that you can, you know, weasel your way into something different or take some time. But sometimes, just, you know, you have to say this is the price and this is what we're doing.
You made it clear last week that there were certain pieces, prospects that you would not put into play, without obviously getting into details, but safe to say that there was interest in those pieces and you had to say no in some cases?
The only thing that's safe to say is they're all still here.
And that was obviously very important to this
very
organization.
Yeah.
And then just one more on Blake Wheeler. He sort of downplayed what, if any, role he had in all this. But from your perspective, was his conversation with Paul Stastny and that friendship, that connection, did that play a role and a significant role in helping this?
Well, I don't think you can undersell the fact that when you make a trade and you know, that, you know, here's this person that's going to be walking into a very tight-knit group of players that have battled together for 60 games, you know, and have gotten to this point. I think having someone that is very, you know, close to you would certainly help you. You know, if you're going to go play in the sandbox that, you know, you're familiar with, I think it's easier to make friends and keep doing some things. But ultimately, these decisions, again, they're more than just, hey, buddy, come play with us. You know, it'll be fun. Like, this affects his family. This affects, you know, lots of different things. You know, Paul's a very cerebral person. We had him and I had a very, you know, very good conversation last night about, you know, the struggle that was going to be for him to go through this process. You know, he was excited. He said, don't take this the wrong way. I've got to think all this through because, you know, he's a very, very methodical person. And I think that's the way he plays the game. You know, like, he's a detail type of guy when it comes to the game. You know, again, playoff experience, you know, 800 games, you know, as a pro. And, you know, again, it's a big ad for our group.
Were you as in on Brassard as the reports suggested?
I can't comment on other teams' players other than to say that I won't deny that I was in on some pretty big things.
Okay. It's unusual for division rivals maybe to make a deal, especially, you know, both still in the mix. How surprised were you to hear that, get that text?
Well, I think as a manager, you have to take the emotion out of things, and I can't speak for Doug. Obviously, Doug had to make a very difficult choice in his mind. You know, the business of the game is a difficult one. He's got some pretty good assets, you know, for this, and I think as a manager, you know, you're not doing your organization's service or not when you make a choice to do something that you don't take the best option in front of you, and clearly we were the best option in his mind to be able to do it, regardless of, you know, conference, division, or standings.
You said that text came a couple of days ago, so would it be fair to characterize the Stastny plan as kind of your plan B?
You know, no, because it really wasn't a plan until, you know, St. Louis basically said, okay, you know, this is real. Because it was far from real, like, for a long period of time, and there was never any indication that said that, you know, I am doing this. It's like, if I would do this, would I? And you know, again, I can't speak for Doug.
Kevin, a two-part question for me. One, do you like the label that you're generally given throughout the NHL world as a conservative manager? And then the second part, what What was the reason that caused you to act in a big way now here at this deadline?
Well, I think that, you can label, whatever people, want to label. I think when we had the opportunity or we felt we had an opportunity to make the playoffs before, we acted, we added some pieces. The pieces were different. At that point, we felt we needed to fill in our fourth line and allow Paul the flexibility to, roll four lines at that period of time. When we traded Andrew Ladd, certainly didn't feel like I was a conservative, person at that point in time. And when we traded, with Buffalo, again, I think it's just about what realistic options you have in front of you. Do I have to get the adrenaline rush of making a trade or, reading my name as, different things? No, I don't. Again, we talked about how we were going to build this organization. And I think if you went back over all the transcripts, over the course of time, I think the message has been pretty consistent that we are going to, draft, develop, and retain. And, if and when we felt we had opportunities in front of us to strike at something, we would. And, we're very close to the cap right now. And, I don't know who in Winnipeg would have thought that we would be a cap team. But, and we've got some great young prospects here. We've got we're going to have lots of challenges ahead of us, as we continue to move, in those realms. I think any general manager has to evaluate what's in front of them and make the decisions that are there for them, to make, and believe in some people that, deserve to be believed in. Whether it's Blake when we signed him to his extension or Toby when we signed him to his or Brian Little. And you have to have players that believe in what you believe in. I go back to that conversation that I had with Buff when I signed his extension. I said, Buff, why do you want to stay? You can leave here in whatever, 6 weeks or whatever it is. He says, because, I like, what we have going here. We've got some young players that are exciting, and I want to be a part of it. And I can't remember your second part in case I...
One thing that caused you to
ask. And hopefully I kind of answered that in my, long-winded explanation. Again, I wouldn't have acted if the fit wasn't right. Like, I was fully prepared, if there was not the right fit, we would have been having this conversation about, not making a move in this group.
There's a perception out there that certain teams were making moves not so much to acquire but to keep players away from your team. Is that the way that you see it?
No.
No. Did you essentially send Blake Wheeler to help with the sales pitch?
No. No, it's not about sales pitch. It was never really about a sales pitch. We knew Blake and him were friends, but being as a captain, there's certain things that sometimes you ask them to do, and you talk with them, you confide in them. Blake and I have a very, very good and professional relationship about being open and candid with each other, and it goes back to even last summer when Blake and I sat down at the end of last season and talked about some of the pending moves that I was hoping to be able to make in free agency. And even through that free agent period in time, we've Blake's been an ally in that regard, and that's what your leaders do. Your leaders lead on the ice, and your leaders lead off the ice. And we're very fortunate that we've got one of the best ones in both categories.
So we asked the players what message they feel that you've sent to them by making these moves today. For you, what is the message that you feel that you're giving your team?
I think for me, it's, just keep playing. Like, we've got a lot of work ahead of us here. Like, enjoy the moment for the brief second here, but keep playing. Like, we've got 20 games in front of us here that we've got a lot of work ahead of us. So, these deadlines can be highs and lows, for the right reasons, but at the end of the day, you had practice, you had a good practice, get ready for the game tomorrow. Win or lose, get ready for that next game. Like, it's a workmanlike attitude here, and I think that goes back to, what Blake said last week. Like, there's lots of work ahead of us here. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's lots of teams that made moves this week. And, you know, there's lots of teams that didn't. But, you know, in 2010, when I was part of the Hawks, we didn't make a significant deadline move. So, you know, this game has to be played on the ice. It's not played on paper. You just try to give the coach the best options you can. You try to have the most depth you possibly can. You know, you try to check off as many boxes as you can, given the salary cap's constraints, given, you know, that you have to build that team chemistry and that team cohesiveness. And again, it's not about getting all the most talented players, whether it's, you know, free agency or whatever. You know, it's about getting that right fit.
Kevin, would you say that your team, in your mind, is a little ahead of schedule, and that perhaps that makes you think about a move that you might not have made in thinking about it November, December? Maybe the window's a little wider now than it was before?
You know, in this game here, again, it's like 82 one-game seasons. You evaluate every game, you know, and that's maybe how you try to stay away from the highs and the lows. And you know, you can talk about plans and you can talk about different things, but every single morning when you wake up, you have to evaluate and possibly reevaluate where you were from the night before. Every single season when you start, you have to, like, evaluate and reevaluate where you were. Now we're 60 games in. You know, you evaluate where you've come from now till then. You see what's, you know, what's in front of you, and you look at the options. Now, I'll be honest with you. Like, did I think we were going to have an option to acquire, you know, Paul Stastny when we started to, you know, have our mid-season, you know, meetings with our pro scouts and everything? No, I, you know, you didn't. But things unfold, like things, you know, become, you know, apparent for whatever different reasons. And when an opportunity is there and the opportunity is right and it fits and, you know, you've done your due diligence and, you know, you're willing to pay the acquisition price, which, you know, I can't remember. I think one of you might have asked me, it's like, oh, prices are high. And yeah, prices are high. You know, like, I was on the other side. Like, I drove a price, you know, when we traded, you know, our captain. You know, and these managers, you know, are doing their job. So, but when you can feel good about the price you paid and to get, you know, the quality of person and fit in your organization, then you do it.
Yeah. You mentioned Paul Stastny had to waive a no trade to,
yes,
to come. Were you guys on the other side of that at all, this trade deadline?
I can't answer. I couldn't tell you because, you know, again, it's... it's not, you know, something that you generally get to have that conversation with, you know, with the player. In Paul's case, because, you know, we had come to an agreement, you get to have that conversation. But that's up to when you're in a negotiation with on a potential trade, and those are things, and you generally don't get to have that conversation until you and that other team come to terms.
Okay, so you didn't have that kind of agreement with another team?
No.
Kevin, are they paper moves for Pullman and Patan, or do you expect them to stay with the Moose for the time being?
No, we've assigned you know, Nick, and we've assigned Tucker to the Moose to play. You know, they're very, you know, capable players of obviously playing for us, and are very good options, you know, from a Jets perspective to be back at any point in time. They're going to play some games right now because, again, the hardest part for younger players is not playing. Like, you know, when Tucker hasn't been playing, it hasn't been ideal for us, you know, because, you know, we feel he'll be that much better when he gets back into our lineup, you know, when he does play. It's not that he can't be in our lineup. It's just when you get to this deadline and you have to make some definitive moves based on the roster and based on what you don't know for the next 20 games and the such, you know, the four recall rule is a very difficult, you know, thing to manage. You know, sometimes it's not ultimate, but you have to make some decisions. Great, thanks so much.